Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
And it's time for another installment of It's My House. And today we're going to continue on from the still trending, the Will Smith debacle at the Academy Awards this past weekend. And we'll be right back after this quick musical interlude.
Thank you.
All right. Following up from yesterday, keeping up with the trending topics, or the one specific trending topic of the Academy Awards debacle this past weekend, where Will Smith criminally assaulted Chris Rock, but Chris Rock's not going to press any charges. Anyway, but in light of that, today's podcast is titled Hollywood and RSVP Film Community. We're going to take a look at Hollywood, the origins of it, which will give you a clearer understanding of Hollywood today. All right. And hopefully put more in the context of what happened on this past Sunday. Now, in our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio or online listening to us on the Blog Talk in our scrolling marquee, I've got some pictures for you. And I've got a picture of about, what, seven people? And let me name them. Louis B. Mayer, Carl Lemuel, I might be mispronouncing his last name, Adolf Zukor, Z-U-K-O-R, William Fox, Benjamin Warner, and then the other two would be Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. All right. The five guys who started the film industry, as we know it today, known as Hollywood, because I named seven people, but the starting five, Louis B. Mayer, along with his partner, Irving Thalberg, I count them as one, Carl Lemuel, Adolf Zukor, William Fox, and Benjamin Warner. The common denominator with those five gentlemen, they're all Jewish. And most of them, Eastern European Jews. Those five people, because I doubled up on one of them, but Irving Thalberg was a partner of Louis B. Mayer. So a total of six people. That's the origins of the Hollywood film community as we know it today. Now, there are two other people that I mentioned. They're not part of the starting five, but they're very significant. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Jerry Siegel was the creator of Superman. He, too, also Jewish. And the person who illustrated Superman was his illustrator partner, Joe Shuster, also Jewish. So everybody that I just named were Jewish. Hollywood, for all practical purposes, at its inception and even now, is a film, and there are many film communities around the globe. Bollywood is a film community in India. Japan has a film community. Nigeria has Nollywood. That's the film community in Nigeria. There's Riverwood, which is a film community in Kenya, Africa. So Hollywood is a de facto Jewish film community. And the reason why, one of the reasons why these, every last person that I named, and this is documented, they started a community because they weren't allowed into, at that time, mainstream films. They weren't allowed to do their own stories, tell their own stories, get jobs and acting, actresses, right? None of that. So Mayor Louis B. Mayer, along with Irvin Thalberg, Metro-Goldwyn, you know, Mayor, Irvin LeMayo, Adolf Zuckerberg, William Fox, Benjamin Warner, along with his brothers, these guys started studios and started producing films where they could, there and other Jewish people could work, where they were in control. And before them, Thomas Edison, up in New Jersey on the East Coast, he had a lockdown on the film industry. So they weren't getting anywhere there, so they had to go out west. Now, there is a book that is titled, well, let me get the title of it for you. Well, you know what? Before I even get to that, let me start reading here out of the book. The Hollywood Jews, the first generation, the eldest, Carl LeMayo, was born in 1867 in a small village in southwestern Germany. His beloved mother died shortly after his 13th birthday, and he prevailed upon his father, a land speculator, to let him go to America to seek his fortune, which he eventually founded Universal Pictures. Number one, Adolf Zucker, spelled Z-U-K-R, was born in a small Hungarian village in the Great District in Hungary. His father died when Adolf was in infancy. His mother, a few years later, passed away, and Adolf was bundled off into an uncle nearby. Lonely and independent and unloved, Zucker and LeMayo petitioned to leave for America for a new life. Zucker would later build Paramount Pictures. That's number two. This is the origins of it now. Okay. We're talking about people who came from impoverished backgrounds for the most part in different countries, didn't even know the English language starting out. And they had to come over here to make it. This is the origins of the Academy Awards and Hollywood as we at we're talking about the roots. Next person, William Fox. William Fox, another Hungarian. His parents, let's see. All right, hold it. Well, he would later start the Fox Film Corporation. That's William Fox. And then Louis Mayer, had forgotten where in Russia where he had been born. He later on said the 4th of July was his birthday. He settled with his parents in Maritime Canada, where his father established a junkyard and salvage operation. By his teens, Louis was bridling at his father's authority, and he left for Boston, where he tried setting up a junk and salvage operation of his own. He would, of course, had the greatest studio of them all, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Okay, Benjamin Warner left his wife and son and infant daughter in Poland, where he followed his relatives who had sought their fortune in America. After 2 years as a cobbler making shoes in Baltimore, Maryland, he earned enough money to send for his family and probably began increasing the family numbers of who's coming over. For years, he roamed the East Coast in Canada, peddling notions from a wagon before settling in Youngstown, Ohio, where his sons Harry, Sam, Albert, and Jack decided to pool their resources and buy a broken movie projector. The result was the euphonious company known as Warner Brothers. The most striking similarity among the Hollywood Jews However, it wasn't their Eastern European origin. What united them in deep was a deep spiritual kinship was their utter, absolute rejection of their past and equally absolute devotion to this new country. For immigrant Jews to want to assimilate, particularly when they have been victimized, once again, I've said it several times before, everybody gets shit on. In their home countries was nothing but exception. But something drove the young Hollywood Jews to a ferocious, even pathological embrace of America. Something drove them to deny whatever they had been longing to settle within. Now, the book that I highly recommend that you get is titled An Empire of Their Own, How Jews Invented Hollywood by Neil Gabler, G-A-B-L-E-R, Neil Gabler, N-E-A-L. Once again, the book is titled An Empire of Their Own, How Jews Invented Hollywood, and throw in there the Academy Awards. Now, there are two other names that I mentioned, Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster, the inventors of Superman. Jerry Siegel was the creator of Superman, and Siegel was the illustrator that brought Superman to life. You know, with the cape and all that other stuff. And the Jewish folk back then, they were shit on, disgraced. Many of your world famous golden age of Hollywood actors and actresses, they were Jewish, but they had to anglicize their names so they would get accepted by the public. But that's another story. But with Superman, Jerry Siegel, the creator of Superman, once again Jewish, he created a character that couldn't be bullied. Well, actually, it's a double-fold thing. Because Clark Kent, mild-mannered, you know, nerdy-type-looking person, journalist, all right, and he was talked to some kind of ways and disrespected some kind of ways, but his alter ego was Superman. And they created it. Superman's Jewish, point blank. Once again, look it up. Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster. Superman's Jewish. They created a Jewish superhero. That's what Superman is. Somebody that could fly. Bullets can't stop him. Only thing can stop him is kryptonite. That's it. In Hollywood, they created a film community that was empowering to Jewish people. With actors, actresses, writers, directors can all get employed. They invented an industry. Now, through the years, they have invited other people into their community. And there are people across all, you know, all religions, all races, all colors. They've invited them into their community. But to them, it's a very sacred community. I understand they're going to have an emergency board meeting of the Academy Awards. And that's the proper name for the Oscars is, or the Academy that hands it out, which is all part of the Jewish film community of Hollywood. It's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and sciences. They're having an emergency board meeting today, I understand, to decide what should be done, if anything, about Sunday night's debacle. So I guess by Friday we'll hear whatever happens with that. But I highly recommend that book and reading up on, because when Jada Pinkett, you know, a few short years ago, she was talking about, well, you know, maybe we should protest. You know, Jada, the best thing to do, and I'm glad Don Cornelius did this before he passed away. Don Cornelius created the Soul Train Music Awards, and it still exists to this day. It's a polished production. He also used to have the Soul Train Comedy Awards. I wish they would bring that back. And, of course, his dance show, Soul Train, was an excellent, it was a polished, good show. That was an African-American community. And they had white folks on there, too. David Bowie has been on there. Even Donny Osmond, when he had a couple of hits, Soulja Love and something else, he was invited on there, but they had a strike at the time. The average white band's been on there. So that white, they've had white dancers on Soul Train. So the Latino dancers and all that. But these are communities that were set up for people. Ebony and Jet, or the, I don't know if they still do it, the Ebony Fashion Fair, it's a community. So within these communities, they first they have a right to set up their own community based on identity and based on solving community problems, because at one time there was a Jewish people couldn't get into the movies. So these five guys, Mayer, along with his partner, Irving Thalberg, Carola Mayo, Adolph Zucker, William Fox, and Benjamin Warner, along with his brothers, Warner Brothers, that's not a whole lot of people. Say, you know what? We're going to start our own thing. The first Academy Awards had, the first Oscar ceremony had maybe 260 to 270 people attend. The first person who won an Oscar happened to be a German person. But he later on did some commercials promoting Nazi Germany, and he was, well, he wasn't part of Hollywood no more. Matter of fact, let me go, let me show you how they roll here. First, let me look it up. First Oscar winner. Let's see, first Oscar winner. Okay, who's the first person to win an Oscar? Emil Jannings, E-M-I-L, Emil Jannings, J-A-N-N-I-N-S. The first ever Academy Award was bestowed on Emil Jannings for Best Actor for his leading roles in the silent films The Way of All Flesh in 1927. And The Last Command in 1928, the first ever Academy Award for Best Picture, went to Wings. Let's see. Let's get back to Jannings. Emil Jannings. Okay, Emil Jannings. Okay, Emil Jannings. Born Theodore Frederick Emil Jannes, okay, 1884 to 1950, was a German actor, probably in the 1920s, in Hollywood, where he was the first recipient of the Academy Award for Best Actor for his roles for The Last Command and The Way of All Flesh. As of 2022, Jannes is the only is the only German ever to win in this category, to win the category. I wonder why. Let's see. Career. He was eventually given the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But what happened to him as far as Hollywood goes while he was living, he did some Nazi, here we go, let me erase. Jannings later starred in a number of Nazi propaganda films, which made him unemployable as an actor after the defeat of Nazi Germany. Now, you can read into that any kind of way you want to. So that's just a little snippet. There's a lot to Hollywood history, but the origins, the root, and like I said, in the scrolling marquee that we have on Blog Talk Radio here today, we've got pictures of all the guys that I just named. Now, if I can find my way back to my studio here, here on Blog Talk on my phone. So, one of the comments that Will Smith made during his acceptance speech, right at the end of it, if he's invited back. So they're having a board meeting today on what happened Sunday. What topics will be discussed? I don't know. Security. Will he be allowed to keep his Oscar award? The good news for Chris Rock, Chris Rock's ticket sales, he's got a concert tonight. Tickets are at $720 each to see Chris Rock in his performance tonight, wherever he's performing tonight. $720, not bad for the former class clown. In any event, if you have any comments, 619-768-2945 is the number to call. And let's go to the phone lines here. And that's just a brief, like I said, what I just put out there, Hollywood and RSVP film community. Once again, at its origins, and even today, it is a de facto Jewish film community. And it's their privilege to invite, we're privileged, anybody outside of that. They're inviting outsiders in. They've been doing this so for decades now. And if people got a problem with that, then do like a Don Cornelius. Start your own thing. But we really shouldn't be going in it. Well, let me not get on that. I want to hear what you guys have to say. All right, area code 414, your mic is open. 414.
Yes, I like to give shouts out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO of 365, the winning team. And my name is Lewis Gregory, and I'm a broadcaster. I would like to be a part as far as helping what you just said. I'm a broadcaster. I have Sinclair Broadcasting Group gave me 48 million TV fans for my format. So anything I put on, that's what it goes to.
Okay. Any comment on Sunday night or the Oscars or the Academy Awards?
Yes. I'm going to tell you something. If you look, and I'm just going to say this because I'm not going to get deep off into it, but the reason why them two is getting hacked because when you watch TV shows, except Blackish, there's mixed. and that's what they're pushing, mixed couples for the blacks. They don't want black on black. Because then, now that makes the black family strong again. Now, if that had been two white people or anybody else did it, they wouldn't have had the flag. Because they were two black people who've been married for a long time, and the industry couldn't break them up. So, you know, that's all that is. That's a race thing. And I want to tell people another thing about what you're saying. Listen, entertainment comes from us, okay? We were slaves, so we can't get the credit. Where do you think the Jews learned what they learned? When they came over here, they were thrown in the ghetto with us, okay? So all that you see right there, that is ours. But we couldn't own it because we were enslaved. So Jews ain't made nothing. We created. It's just we don't, like everything else, we don't get the title for it because of who we are. So Jews didn't know nothing about no entertainment until they came here to the ghettos. Do your research. And filming been out since the late 1800s because France and them made it. That is the capital of major. You know that? Universal and them? Italy and Spain. That's where they come from. But Spain don't get credit for making the first film. We're talking late 1800s, 1800s. So film has always been around, but because Americans didn't create it, they didn't claim it. I went to school for this, for music business and communication. I had a three-year deal, new digital media deal with Universal from 2013 to 2016. I got over 50 digital license deals with all the major companies, Apple, all of them, Amazon, all of them. And what I want to do is network with investors who invest in entertainment, and we can come together and create our own, just like Don Cornelius did. And others before him don't get credit. So this is nothing new. The thing is, like I said, I would like to network with like-minded people who understand, and we can create our own. Now, I'm a sit and listen. I'm going to put my mute back on and listen to the people.
Okay. Thank you for your feedback. All right, just stay right there, and let me go to the next caller here. And there was, besides Don Cornelius, you had Berry Gordy. Berry Gordy had a film company under Motown. All right. We're out there, but for some reason, okay, and I'm going back to this Jada Pinkett Smith thing. Jada Pinkett Smith was bad-mouthing the Oscars, talking about protesting them. Now, when you're front row center with your husband, okay, and I'm a Will Smith fan, and Will Smith has apologized. He owned up to it and all that. He's still an A-lister and whatnot. I hope he's allowed to keep the Oscar and whatnot. But the thing is, when she was talking all that yang-yang a few short years ago, you know, get out here like a Don Cornelius did. Get out here like a Berry Gordy. If somebody don't want you to play with their ball, if that's your perception, then start your own shit. That's why I got a picture of all five of them in the scrolling marquee. These were five guys who were all shitted on early in life. Thomas Edison had a lockdown on the film industry in New Jersey, in the United States. So they had to go to Okay, people, I got booted out. All right, hold it, wait a minute. I got booted out. Okay. I got booted out of my own show. And I think some people got booted along with me. All right, today we're talking about the origins of, and this is a following up on the trending topic Hold it, people, just wait, give me a second. All right, that was one of our callers there. Hold, let me go back. They booted both of us up. So as soon as he comes back in, we're going to take him in because he had been waiting for it. But anyway, we went to the origins of Hollywood, so we wanted to get you guys feedback on it. 425, oh, here we go. Okay. Go ahead, B. Got us both.
Hotep, Brother L.A., how you doing?
Hotep.
Hey, look. Another brother that was messing with them people who found themselves being crucified on a cross one Wednesday afternoon. So now, keep it up. Okay.
Hey, what was you were quiet yesterday, but I'm glad you're on today.
Yeah. Look, Brother L.A., you're a glutton for punishment, I'm telling you, brother. You better cool it. But look, you was talking about Superman and the origins of Hollywood, right?
Yes.
Did you know that the
author? I named the book that because I read directly out of a book.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that book.
Okay, all
right. But look, Brother L.A., did you know that the Oscar award statue that they give is the its origin, is patterned after a black man?
I did not know that.
Yes. Look, you know the brother that wrote this book is called I can't get it right now, but you know Tony Browder personally, don't you?
Not personally, but I used to listen to him on WOL. Yo, man, back in the '80s and nineties.
Okay, he has a book called it, "The Egyptian Origin of History" or something like that. But anyway,
he knows about that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he has the original picture of that Oscar statue that was found in the tombs of Egypt. Well, you know, Egyptians in the ancient times were black folk. And they patterned that statue after that. They patterned the Oscar statue, award statue, after that Egyptian statue that was found in the tombs. So, you know, like the brother was saying, you know, if you trace something back far enough, you'll trace it back to black folk. But now, also, Superman, you know Superman's father's name, right?
Jor-El.
Before he came to Ra-El. Well, Ra.
Oh, Ra-El. Okay.
Yeah, Ra is the name of the Egyptian god. That's Superman's father.
Okay. Good connection.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think Superman's name was Jor-El, which means Yahweh is God. And the thing is all of this is esoteric, really. And that was their way of hiding the superiority of their ethnic group. If you dig down deep enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Hollywood is, look, I'm with you. You know what? We have been trying to get into the big house. I think it was Sekou Touré said, "I'd rather be living in poverty than live in luxury in the oppressor's house." I'm paraphrasing it. And we have been always trying to be a part of the other man's house and not do our own stuff. And
right.
With you, I don't like begging people for their stuff because that means they're in control. And when you bankroll your own stuff, that means you control how it's done, where it's done, and who you do it to. And black folks haven't learned. They haven't learned that yet. And it's pitiful because ain't no way in the world. I was against Jada and Will Smith protesting the Oscars because the thing is, look, you got enough so-called millionaires in Hollywood and in entertainment to where they could have already done like Don Cornelius, but they went there begging on their knees.
Right,
begging.
One of my favorite films was produced by, executive produced by Jada and her husband, Will Smith. When they did the reboot of The Karate Kid, that was Will and Jada that put that thing together. They bankrolled it, the whole, you know, cast it with his son, Jaden, and what's that black actress's name? Her name's right on the tip of my tongue. She was in Empire. There's enough black wealth out there in Southern California alone where we can have our own thing.
In fact, there's enough black wealth in the United States for us to have our own stuff. Let's be honest about it. And the thing is, L.A., we don't really study economics. The one thing is, you can't have a movie studio if you don't have theaters out in the community because the Jews control it too.
I'm glad you brought that up. The majority of movie theaters in the United States are Jewish owned and controlled.
That's right. That's right. Now, at the turn of the century, black folks had their own theaters.
We did.
At the turn of the century. And the thing is, we let that go because, number one, you didn't have the connection with the film producers or the filmmakers and the theaters out in the general population, in the general communities. But the thing is, there's three things that you need in order to make sure that entertainment is controlled. Number one, it takes the money to set it up.
Right.
Number two, you gotta have a network of businesses to support, especially broadcasting, because that airtime costs money.
It does.
if you don't have the businesses to advertise with the radio and TV broadcasting, all you're doing is just urinating in the wind, for lack of a better term. And see, go ahead.
Yeah, don't forget the newspapers also.
Yeah, yeah. And the trick is, if you can't buy that airtime or you can't support those publications, then they're going to die because it goes right back to who controls the advertising and who has the money to buy advertising. So
right.
This thing about you going out there and streaming and all of this stuff, you could probably stream and get a subscription because I stream all of my cable. And the thing is, I pay a monthly fee and you go through the computer. But the thing is, we haven't gotten to the point where we can plan things out and strategize and say, well, look, we got to build the infrastructure first. It's nice to get up there on the stage and sing and dance and all of this stuff, but what do they say? There's two types of entertainment. You know, there's the entertainment part and the business part. And we haven't gotten that business part down pat yet. And
right.
That's why we struggle. And you know what? It's about time for us to stop begging. And look, I know the guys out there. He wants to know who's the we. Well, that's the problem. We don't have a we. And unless you get that identity thing straightened out, and that identity is serious about self-preservation and survival of the fittest.
Well, that's why I went with the origins of the film industry, and I named those five individuals. You know, five Eastern European Jewish men. They essentially they had an identity.
That's
and
right.
They had the community that has flourished to what it is now. Let me ask
exactly.
you this now. You were quiet yesterday. Okay. Your take on what happened Sunday night.
That's why I didn't call in. I didn't want to give you my take. That's why I didn't call in. I didn't want to get into that mess, man. Look, Brother L.A., my thing is this year. We have got to grow up. Everything is funny to us. Everything is laughing and joking. And look, there's some jokes and laugh, and some jokes is not funny. And some people don't
right.
take it that way. You got to be careful who you joke with. And, you know, when I was in school, I used to watch the boys play the dozens. I never played the dozens. You know, talking about each other's mom and all of this stuff. And
right.
it only got, and the reason why they call it the dozens is because it never got to 12 before fight started. And my thing is this year, Brother L.A., and I don't know if I voiced this or not. See, our black comedians should have been had the shit slapped out of them a long time ago. You know, we're the only ones that degrade and insult our race. Every black comedian has a nigger joke, and we should have stopped that a long time ago. And most of our black comedians get real personal talking about people and what people are doing and everything else. And the thing is, that should be a teachable moment. Hey, look, there's certain things you don't say. You don't hear any other racial ethnic group get up there and degrade their ethnic group or race except us. And we allow that Chuck boy to go in and start this thing, like the brother said, with blackface. They go in with blackface and act all stupid as to go in and degrade our look and everything else. And it's really gotten out of hand to the point where it's going to almost be impossible to put that toothpaste back in the tube. But this should be a teachable moment. There's certain things you don't sell, certain things you don't use in your routine. And I think it's a chance to go ahead on and do a reset. But, hey, look, it was bound to happen. And, look, my thing is this year, Brother L.A., you traveled a lot. It's an African tradition for black women to have a bald head.
Yeah, see, when I thought, I didn't know nothing about the alopecia at first. I'm looking at, well, because she looks good with her bald head. I thought it was a fashion statement. That's what I thought.
Well, regardless of whether she was suffering from a disease or not, I mean, that goes to show you that, hey, look, we really don't have an identity. Because if she had stood up and gave the power sign, all of that would have been diffused because she would have showed that, hey, look, I got pride in the way I look, even with a bald head. But, you know, the thing is, we base all beauty on white standards. And because of that reason, you know, that incident happened. But there's a whole lot of things that you can get out of that. But I'm just saying now that it was uncalled for. And the thing is, it's a teachable moment. And these comedians should have had the shit slapped out of them a long time ago. As far as I'm concerned. Now, whether they heed to it or not.
All right, with the Chris Rock comment, okay, now here's how I processed it. G.I. Jane was a popular movie, number one. Number two, Demi Moore, also an A-list actress, she shaved her head bald for that part. G.I. Jane, that film was about a woman trying to become the first Navy SEAL, which is a very elite operation. So when he made the comment of G.I. Jane 2, I saw nothing wrong with that. Because once again, the whole concept of G.I. Jane is a woman trying to become a Navy SEAL. What's wrong with that?
Well, when your mind is poisoned that with the standard of white being beautiful and hair being straight, you don't see it that way. I mean, she's not in tune with her blackness, because look, she could have got up and gave the power sign, and all of that would have been confusing. Say, hey, yeah, you know what? I'm exhibiting my African tradition, even with the disease. But
right.
She's ashamed of how she looked. You know, I mean.
You know, I guess what was that film that was popular a year or two ago that won an Academy Award?
Black Panther.
Yes. Women in that.
Those women shaved their head in order to portray African women warriors.
Exactly.
But L.A., look, when you have been brainwashed into thinking that white is right, black is bad, see, that doesn't come into play when you're confronted with it. And that's what happened. In fact, you know, as far as the joke is concerned, really, Chris Rock wouldn't have did that to a white woman. And Will Smith wouldn't have done that to a white comedian. Let's face it. But
nope.
The thing is, when you have an identity crisis or you're not in tune to your blackness, that's what happens. And it was on full display yesterday. I mean, the other day during that Emmy, that Oscar Awards. And look,
right.
Let me give you
a question.
I'm going to tell you here. Have you seen King Richard?
I've only seen clips of it. I got to go see it, though. I mean, it's right on Amazon. I got to watch it.
Well,
I haven't seen,
I don't know how they're going to portray King Richard, but you know what? The only Oscars that's been given to black folks has been Denzel Washington was a crook, and Halle Berry was a hoe.
Right. Now Lou Gossett played a drill instructor. Lou Gossett played a drill instructor in Officer and Gentleman. And then Sidney Poitier, did he win an Oscar or a Lifetime Oscar?
I think he won an Oscar. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
And that was a good film.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, it showed the racism. You know, the woman was blind. So she didn't know Sidney Poitier was blind, but was black. So, you know, they got away with it. You know, they should have had her where she could see, right? But she couldn't see. So I guess
right.
It was safe to say, you know, I'm bringing you home to my people, you know. But, you know,
but,
Hollywood had those.
Yeah, Halle Berry with Monsters Ball. What I didn't like about that film in particular, Halle Berry ended up in a relationship with the guy who ended up sending her, I mean, basically her husband went to the gallows. He was one of the ones who helped put him in the gallows. I didn't like that dynamic. But she won an Oscar for
it. Oh, yeah. And I didn't like the Oscar that Denzel Washington won. He was a crooked cop when he should have won it for the Malcolm X portrayal, you know.
Straight up rogue cop, but you, at the end of Training Day, he got killed.
Yeah, but it showed a black policeman in the worst light, you know.
But hold on. Now, I like the film Training Day, and I play on here the clip, you know, I'm going to put on, you know, have you playing basketball, I'll play that on here occasionally. But the part of the film that you got to raise your eye up at is when the guy that wanted to make the team, Ethan Hawke, his character, he took the detective's badge off of Alonzo, Denzel Washington's character, and then the blacks basically gave him a pass to walk out. And they held him. That's why he went off on it. That part, I mean, the white man saves the day.
Always. Always. He's a hero.
And that film was directed by a black man.
Well, we have sellouts. Hey, look, here's the thing. Go back to what you just said. When your money bankrolls it, they had a saying one time. They say, why do the Indians always lose in these movies? And the white boy told him, say, well, look, When you finance it, the Indians can win. But when they have my money, the Indians are going to always lose. And that's the way it is. You know, you've got to control.
Spoke about that in one of his albums. And that's why, you know, it people, you know, because the black guys all, you know, typically always the first person to die. And that's typically because black folks don't bankroll these movies.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, hey, look, L.A., it's right there in plain sight for us to understand, hey, look, you got to control the money. The little bit of money that you got, you ain't, look, and I'm going to say this here, Brother L.A., have you ever looked at the GDP of nations
Once a month I go through certain countries, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is this. You know, a lot of people dispute the statistics, but CELIC down there in Georgia does a minority spending power report every year, and it said last year that blacks spent $1.6 trillion last year. And the thing is, you know, a whole lot of people say, well, we don't produce nothing, and the thing is, we only have a half of 1% that goes all the way back to the Civil War. But now, if you compare our population to the population of nations, we're about the 16th. Our spending would equal this to a country's GDP that's ranked 16th on the GDP chart. So now, with that kind of spending power that we're giving everybody else, if we could find a way to control that through businesses and investments, hell, we could finance any damn thing we want. But the thing is, when you don't have that identity and you don't practice self-preservation, which is racism, we're going to always be behind the eight ball, pardon the pun. And that's it. You know, we're kicking boy for every damn ethnic group or race that comes in this country, because we can't get together to do what we need to do to control our environment. And it's pitiful.
So, well, we do. Matter of fact, I think black Americans had take more. If we look, use the GDPs, if we look at Uganda and then Eswatini, which used to be called Swaziland, I think we have a greater GDP than them. Those are two independent sovereign nations.
I mean, when you look at it, Brother L.A., we rank right up there with the European countries almost. In fact, we're right behind South Korea, and they're manufacturing cars and boats and every damn thing else. When you look at it, I think we're about, in fact, we might be pretty close to Mexico. The money's there. And look.
We probably take in more than Moldova. Moldova is in Eastern Europe. It borders, Ukraine. You know, yeah, I'm going to have to do some comparisons on that. But, yeah, we've got the cash.
We got the cash, but we don't have the sense. You know, there used to be a joke one time, and I think I told it to you and the Honorable President Stephan. I worked with some white boys one time, and they said that, you know, in the church, we were talking about churches, how, you know, you have disputes in church. You say, well, look, I'm white, and we have disputes in our church, too. He said, you know, one time a bunch of the trustees were getting together at my church, a white boy was saying this, and he said, you know, they were arguing about putting that new part on the church, and the head deacon said, you know what, if I had the money, I wouldn't go through all of this. Every time we get together, it's a bunch of confusion and arguing and everything. But if I had the money, I wouldn't even ask y'all. I'd just go ahead on and put that part on by myself. So about some months later, this head trustee's uncle died and left him a fortune. So this head deacon, him and his wife, went out traveling all over the world and everything, buying stuff everything. So after they got tired of traveling and spending money, they came back. So about 6 months later after they got back, they called another meeting. And they got in there about that extra part on the church. And they got to arguing and fussing and everything. So, as you know, there's always a smart ass in the group. He said, look, Deacon, didn't you say one time that if you had the money, you wouldn't be bothering us for the money. You just go ahead on and put that part on by yourself and wouldn't ask nobody for nothing. Saying, your uncle left you a lot of money. You could put this part on by yourself and wouldn't even have to go through all of this mess. And the head deacon said, yeah, I did say that. He said, but back then I had the mind, but I didn't have the money. He said, now that I got the money, I ain't got the mind. So that's the way we black folks are. We got the money. We ain't got the mind. We can do whatever what we need to do. But we just don't have the mind.
Right. Hold on, BZ, for a minute. We're going to take a little two-minute interlude.
All right. Let the garbage men handle the garbage. We're professional anglers, okay? We go after the big fish. Chasing them monkey strong, crackhead motherfuckers anyway. You know they'd have killed you without hesitating.
That's why they belong in prison.
For what? They got beat down. They lost their rock. They lost their money. Their message from Hillside probably going to smoke them. I mean, Jesus, what more you want?
I want justice, right?
Is that not justice?
That's street justice.
What's wrong with street justice?
Oh, what? Just let the animals wipe themselves out.
God
right?
willing. Fuck them. Everybody who looks like them. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. The good guys, they die first, right? Those school kids and moms, family men, they don't want to catch the stray bullets in the noodle. To protect the sheep, you got to catch the wolf. And it takes a wolf to catch a wolf. You understand?
What?
I said you protect the sheep by killing
you.
The motherfucking wolves. No, you didn't hear me. You listening, but you didn't hear me.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the fuck ever.
When do you lock anybody up? I mean, it seems like you're pretty busy keeping people out.
What the fuck you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about, Biddy Boot. Got nothing but shit between your ears. Shit, they build jails because of me. Judges have handed out over 15,000 man years of incarceration time based on my investigations, okay? My record speaks for itself. How many felons have you collared? Huh? Yeah, I rest my case.
It ain't like stepping on ants, Jake. It takes a man to kill. Are you man enough to kill Jake? Hit me right there. Get me, Jack. Get me. Hit me. Hit me. You can't do it.
Somebody drop this fool for me.
You got us twisted, homie. We gotta put your own work in around here.
It's like that, Bone?
It's like that.
Player to player, pimp to pimp. I'm bleed, you shoot me, nigga. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now I'm bleed, he got in there, Jake. I'm gonna get that gun, and then I'm gonna get that money. And you ain't gonna do a damn thing, because you ain't gonna shoot no cop in the back, are you?
Don't do it.
You know what they give you for that? The gas chamber. You know what the gas chamber smells like? Pine oil. That's where you headed, boy. To pine oil heaven. I'm gonna get that gun, and then I'm gonna get that money. I don't believe you got it in you, Jake. I'm gonna go get it right now.
Oh, shit! You motherfucker!
The next one will kill you.
Oh, son of a bitch! You shot me in the ass!
Okay, wait. Okay. All right, listen. Come on, Jake, I need the money. Give me the money, Jake. Give me the money, please, Jake.
Give me that money!
It's not gonna happen. Oh, you gonna jack me now? You gonna take my own money from me, huh?
I told you, that's my evidence. You wanna go to jail, you wanna go home.
I wanna go home, Jake.
come on. Give me the money and let me go home.
Yeah? Yeah. You want to go home?
Yeah, let me go home, Jake. Come on, give me the money and let me go home. Give me the money and let me go home. Let me go home, Jake. That's right. Come on, Jake. You don't deserve this.
Jake, go ahead and bounce, homie. Get up out of here. We got your back.
What?
Like that.
Oh, no, you didn't. Wait a minute. No, you didn't. Hey, hey, Jake! Hey! Jake! 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 Come back here! Jake! You disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk. Jake! I need my money! Jake! Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jake! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go and walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
And that was Denzel Washington playing the role. Black folks did not bankroll that movie. Now, we directed it, okay, but we didn't bankroll it. And like I say, from my point of view, it was interesting that the cop, that his subordinate, took his detective shield from him and left him basically. Well, at the end of the movie, Alonzo got killed by some Russian gangsters. And the people who bankrolled the film, Jewish. The people who wrote the film, Jewish. Which is their right. If you bankroll it, you can have the script written any kind of way you want to have it written. But on Sunday night, the interchange, and I'm looking at it as a three-way dynamic. Chris Rock, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Will Smith. Because Will Smith was laughing at first. But then Jada, his wife, gave him a look. So that script was written by those three. However, the house, which is owned by Jewish people, the house is having an emergency board meeting today to see what will happen, if anything, concerning Sunday night's events. So they're gonna finish the script on that. Beasley, any other comments before we go to the next caller?
Well, look, I'm gonna say this. While you on break, I looked up the nation's GDP, and I told you that it was estimated that blacks spent about $1.6 trillion last year.
Okay.
If it was compared to nations' GDP, that spending would equal the 14th largest economy in the world. And the thing is, a lot of people say, well, you can't go by that because, you know, black folks are not a nation. And I want to give you this. I looked at Highway Ricky Ross. I guess this is his name, Rick Ross.
Yeah.
In his heyday, he say what?
Freeway, yeah, Freeway Rick Ross. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, in his heyday, the authorities estimated that what he was selling equaled what Walmart was making
Yep,
in
I've
a
heard
year.
That.
And the thing
I've
is,
heard.
This $1.6 trillion don't take into account the black market money that goes through our neighborhoods and drugs and everything else. But they said here that if you compared what we spend to the nation's GDP, we will be the 14th largest country, largest GDP in the world, ahead of Spain, Mexico, Indonesia, Iran, the Netherlands, etc. So, look, we
right.
got the money. We just don't have the mind.
Right. Beasley, could you look up the GDP for Swaziland? Well, Swaziland's changed its name to Eswatini, but if you punch in Swaziland, which is a kingdom, a royal kingdom in Africa, find out what their GDP is.
Swaziland.
And then also look up Uganda.
Uganda's way down there. Shucks, I mean. Uganda is only $43 billion.
Yeah, we've got more than Uganda.
Everybody.
And
Mexico and everybody else.
Yeah, we're in the process.
Now, I'm going to give you this, Brother L.A. In 2020, black folks' spending was ahead of Russia's total economy.
Yeah, because Russia's only got like 150 million people. There's not a whole lot of people in Russia.
That's
as
right.
compared
That's-
to...
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just saying that, look, we don't have any excuses, like you said before. It's just that nobody has really taken on the task, and I doubt if it could be done that you could go in and really
well,
control the economy.
Hang on, all right, let's just start on the family level. Just start a simple little family business and keep that going generation to generation. I think if you look at a lot of these businesses like Koreans with the Chinese restaurants and the owning the gas stations and the auto body shops and the auto mechanic shops and the dollar stores, those are basically family-run businesses. Just start something simple because that's enough in itself. Like I like what you did with your wife. You know, y'all had that store up in Baltimore. Just a family-based business and just go from there. Keep. I'm not saying family business are simple because that can be complicated too, but it's close range and it's doable for a lot of people.
LA, yeah, you could do it with the family, but you could do it with families, plural. Look, you and I have talked about this before, and I sent you the statistics on how much money every Sunday that families, plural, put in these churches. The ninth largest business in North Carolina are black churches. I mean, I'm talking about big corporations. The ninth largest business in North Carolina is black churches. That's
well,
how much they
most churches are family-based businesses.
That's right. That's right. So you look, that's free money for banks. They don't have to lend black folks no money, nor do they. But the thing is, the billions of dollars that we put into banks could bankroll every darn thing that was needed that we're talking about.
Right. You're right. Hold on, Beasley. Let me take another call here because hands are up on this one. 815 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
As-salamu alaykum, family. This is Fannie Brown. The God Sister Soul, James Brown, little sister.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Of course, I've been listening. Praises be to Allah, the one living God. Of course, I've been hearing. Of course, I guess I'm in y'all age group or close to it, that we have watched everything take a turn in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I'm just thanking God that I'm here. Reverend Don invited me and told me to call into this number. Everybody has been getting me to call into everything. And I'm just listening and looking at us and hearing us and bearing witness to all of our lives as a whole, knowing that everything that you all are saying is true and knowing that because of how we've been taught that we haven't had a chance to realize that we've been tricked. I just want to say this because it's food for knowledge for all of us. I have a lady named Audra that works for my sister. I have a sister that's we're seniors, both of us, and she works for my sister. And my other worker named Betty works for me. They were both here one morning doing their timesheets so that the state could pay them. And Audra didn't realize the days of the month. So she asked Betty, what is the last day of March? And Betty said, no, this April. Then I said, no, it's March. And I said, see that? I say, she don't even know the days of the month. And Betty said, what are you talking about? I said, they tricked us with all the lies we've been taught. Everything we know is a lie, including the language that we're speaking. I said, because English has only existed 500 and something years. I said, but this is the point. They taught us 30 days have September, April, June, and November. February has 28 alone. All the rest have 31 except leap year, the time when February has 29. I say, she don't know the wrath of what they taught us to keep us stupid as black people. I say, she's a nurse that's been all over the world. You go to Chinatown, Japan, any of those places to eat, they have a 13-month calendar, and every month is named after one of God's animals. I say, 13 months in a year makes sense because we get 13 moons every year, and 13 times 30 equals 364 days. I say, so she don't know the mathematics that they taught black people because she's white. She only know the mathematics that she was taught, which is 13 moon and 13 in the year. So Betty looked real crazy. I said, Betty, we've been tricked. We've been duped. I said, I don't be like Muhammad taught us that we've been lied to. Malcolm tried to teach us. Muhammad Ali tried to teach us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us now, and we still don't want to acknowledge the truth. We all woke up in the 60s when James said, I'm black and I'm proud. When Aretha said, respect and protect the black woman, because that's the number 11 on the back page of the Muslim's paper, the final call. I say, so she sung it. I say, Marvin Gaye, join the friendship train. Everybody take a hand. Let's make a stand. We are winner, and never let anybody say we can't make it because other people's minds are in our way. We have been tricked and tricked real bad, but we don't want to accept the knowledge of what has happened to us. So as I broke down the months and I began to teach Audra, 30 days have September, April, June, and November. So you have to go by the calendar that they taught us in America, not by another calendar that the whole world, the whole planet has a 13-month calendar. The whole planet Earth know that it's 13 months in a year, and that equals the year, 364 days. The whole earth that has sense know that. Black people don't know it's 13 months, 13 moons in a year. And there's a lot of other things we don't know, including the language we're speaking is not true. The original language is Hebrew and Arabic and Spanish. We don't have anything of our own. And when people like you brothers and others, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching has been given to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to raise all of us out of these dead minds. I'm looking at a white woman in the right mind questioning a dead woman on the months of the year that America and London, England has taught us to be dead on. And I'm trying to explain to her, can you see? She don't know the lie. Can you see? She don't understand the lie. So I thank God as he's been raising me since 1994 when I started playing with the band, and James used to say, Fanny, where you getting my band? Fanny, what y'all finna do? And I said, they know somebody with a studio here. We going in and record. Now, you taught me everything I know, so I don't know nothing, but I'm black and I'm proud. People, we got to get over before we go under. I mean, everything you taught me, don't let nobody give me nothing. Sister, if you don't work, you can't eat. Get hip to yourself. Because if you don't, you got to get it from the street. So everything he taught me was to be self-independent, self-working, self-having something. So now I started making the records. And as I would hang them to James, I would also hand one to Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And they would keep them. James would always put his in his pocket after the concert, before the concert or whatever, and he'd laugh. His last record that he did is Gut Bucket, and it's on his YouTube. You all can go listen to it. And it's only 45 seconds of him talking about me. And when DJ Fathom called me after I got back in town after James' death, and he said, come, Fanny. And I went to his studio, and he played it. And I'm like, that's James' last record, because I was down in Augusta when he was doing the music. He said, just listen. And so as he put it on, and James is talking about, she my main sweet. This is business. Hey, rappers, it's Judgment Day. I said, that's my song. He said, we got to save the kids. I said, that's my song. I said, what did James do? What did James do? And then he say, music is the only way. Go and save them. And y'all can go listen to the record. But he left me a message to help me understand that the road I was on is the only road to be on. The road of truth. Can no one live without truth? If you're not standing on truth, looking at truth, listening to truth, you are not living, you are existing. And when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said it in the Swan Song, and y'all need to go on YouTube and listen to that, it's all over, the Swan Song, Savior's Day this year, February the 27th, he said, we cannot live without truth because God made the universe in truth. All the plants, the animals, the trees, the birds, the grass, everything is in truth. The sun and the moon and the other six planets are in truth. What happened to us that a people totally washed our minds clean and then taught us madness? And here we sitting with madness, learned to hate ourselves. Why don't you like her? She thinks she cute. He got on them new shoes. He think he did. She got on that. But wait, her mother just died. That's how she got that dress. It belongs to her grandmother, and she passed it to the mother. She don't have any money. She's just like you. She's on welfare and food stamps. You hate her because she got a dress that her grandmother owned? Look at how they made our mind turn upside down and inside out. I know he wasn't nothing. Look at that new suit he got on them gator shoes. I seen him on the corner. He must be slanging. No, he was handing a homeless person a dollar. Look at ourselves, people. Please open your eyes and look at us. Look at us. And all of my songs that I'm bringing out, and I'm finna bum rush the planet with all these songs that I've been making since 1994. When James left here and his daughter Deanna called me, she said, Auntie, she said, on the side of the bed where Daddy sleep is a little bitty tape player and all your CD records, every one of them, he listened to them, I guess. Every time he get home, he is so proud of you. I just thank God that he let me live to see today when I'm watching World War III get ready to happen, when I'm watching the world as God is turning it upside down and destroying it with all kind of volcanoes and snow and hurricanes and floods and tornadoes, with all you men that love money and love power and think money is going to take you somewhere, stop it from letting you die. Take your money and buy life. You can't do it. Take your bazookas and M-this and cannons and whatever kind of guns y'all got and blow up a tornado. Go stop a hurricane. Stop a flood. Stop God's hard wind or the rain when he sent it. Blow up the snow and don't let it come out the sky. We don't have the power to do any of that. All of that belongs to Allah, the living God. How do you know who he is? Because every day, each one of us move. We have to move our left arm, our left leg, our right arm, and our head. The brain has to think us into doing what we do. So if I start on the left side of my body or the right side of my body, I got to spell God's name. His proper name is A-L-L-A-H, arm, leg, leg, arm, and head, Allah. In order to think, we have to think what God put in our mind and what we with our weak, evil selves that they taught us to be little devils, which mean evil, E-B-I-L. Devil is evil with a D in it. Turn it around backwards, and you'll get D-E-B-I-L. Devil. That means we were once good people that loved God. We lived. Turn lived around backwards, and you got D-E-B-I-L instead of L-I-B-D. Let's get up, people, and go back to living. Let's go back to loving each other. Look in the mirror and fall in love with what's there. Michael said, take a look at the man in the mirror. Women, take a look at us in the mirror and know that we are the mothers of civilization. And that's my first record that's finna come, who we are and how God made us. We are the mothers. It couldn't be a man on the planet if it don't be a mother. We grow up from a little girl and turn into a mother if God bless our wounds. Men, look at who we are. We're your mothers. Stop raping your mothers, killing your mothers, misusing and abusing your mother. You don't want nobody to do it to your physical mother. But every woman that you hurt and do wrong to is somebody's mother. And if she's not, when God bless her womb, she will be someone's mom. Please, world, please. And I'm talking to my family, the red, black, and brown people of this planet. Let's take a look in the mirror at ourselves and see and ask God and beg God and go down on our knees to our creator, Allah. And look at your hand. You got an M in both of them. Why, God, did you leave a brand in our hand? Because we're Muslims, and he knew where they were going to make us stupid, and we wasn't going to know who we was. He knew they was going to make us blind, deaf, and dumb. And we wouldn't be able to understand that Muhammad is his name. So if we hear me, those of us that's blessed, if we don't, I pray, brothers, that y'all play this all over the world if you can. And help our people realize that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of God. All that you hear me speak came from God. All the songs that we grew up to in the 60s came from God, the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that all of our singers and entertainers came to the mosque and heard him speak and began to put out the songs about the truth. We woke up, but then they flooded our neighborhood with pills and reefers and bombing fluids and paint thinners that you sniff and all kind of pills that you drop and all kind of drugs and crack and hazel, angel dust, all that madness that they put in our neighborhoods. And most of us are weak enough and was weak enough to go for it. And now we've turned ourselves inside out and upside down. May God bless us all. I would love to go on, but I got a few things I got to do, and then I got to definitely go and finish writing what God has given me to put in these songs. The JBs and I already have like 27 ready to go. Stop the killing. You can't replace the living. On YouTube, they have the God Sister Soul Possessor, JB. Pull your pants up. You sagging down. But if you use both your hands to pull them up,
is that Fred Wesley and the JBs, or is it Maceo Parker?
Yes. Fred Wesley. Bobby Bird got out his deathbed 10 months before he died to do these songs with us. He's the Godfather, so we love him so. I'll be releasing it. The only one that is released is right now. Pull up your pants, you're sagging down. And in the background of the music, we're chatting. Sagging is what? What spelled backwards? S-A-G-G-I-N-S is N-I-G-G-A-S. I just wanted us to understand what they turn us into. But we don't have to stay this. We can cut on YouTube, the internet, TikTok, everything on the planet now is showing the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, given by Minister Louis Farrakhan. Pray to God, open our hearts and minds, and let's go get the truth. Let's run. Let's dive off a cliff if the truth is up under the bottom. Because truth is the only thing that will set us free until we start living, standing up, praying, and believing in the Creator that wakes every one of us up every morning that we're here that put us to sleep every night. Can't one person on the planet tell me what time they went to sleep, because you don't control it. God did. We need to take a real look at the real living God and look at ourselves in the mirror and know that he created us. And according to all the good books, in his own image. So what are you? I'm a baby God growing, trying to get to the real God. But somebody erased my mind so that I couldn't know that I was God. Let's go grab the truth, people. Let's go grab the truth. Look at that man in the mirror and thank the Creator. Thank him. Because you can't tell me what time you woke up this morning. Yes, sir.
What's your name? What's your name real quick?
My name is Fanny Brown Burford. My holy name that Minister Farrakhan gave me is Karima Muhammad. Karima means the generous, the giving, the noble, helpful one. That's what the minister told me to admit. And I accepted it because I've always tried to help people. But for whatever reason, God put that in me. And then what I didn't get, I got it from the hard knock school of James Brown. And I know y'all understand what kind of gangster he was when it came to music and everything being exact and correct. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan finished cleaning me up. So here I stand. And I'll give you my phone number if you care to call.
Yeah, I got it. I got it on my switchboard already.
Okay. Okay.
So, because we got some other callers, but I'll be in touch with you, okay?
Right. And like I say, they can go get the record. My picture and James is on it, and my number is on it also. Pull up your pants. You're sagging down. And I want to say to the whole world, if you use both hands, you got to do the James Brown. My other song, before you hang up, is Stop the Killing. You can't replace the living. Please put down the gun. Please, please, and Flavor Flame saying, drop it for me on that song. Me and the JBs have did a group of songs in the last 20-something years. And with God's permission, we'll be bringing them all out. May God bless us all. May we all have a lighter understanding. And just start begging God, if you don't ask him for nothing else, help me learn the truth. I think we all can make it from that. I think all that we're going through will stop. And you will find the peaceful, loving people to where we can leave our doors open. I'm letting you go. May God bless everybody out there that can hear my voice. I love you all. Whether we ever understand it, that's the only thing holding us back, is we fell out of love with ourselves. Go to the mirror. Thank you, sir, for letting me speak.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'll be in touch. All right, let's take. Let's go to the next caller here. 602 area code, your mic is open. 602.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Wait a minute.
Hear me.
Yeah, now I can.
Mike, can you hear me?
Hey, good morning. Can hear you.
Thank y'all all for listening to this radio show. It's live, deep, educational knowledge to start your day. It's important for us to get this information. And I feel as a society, we have to honor good information.
Okay, all right.
That's all I got to say, LA. I'm out the way, bro.
Thanks for calling, man.
Chuck.
We got a bunch of calls today. Thanks for calling in, 602. 314, your mic is open.
LA, what's the topic today? Oh, by the way, did somebody mention James Brown?
Yeah, but we started off with, and it is still out there, I gave a very history of Hollywood, the origins of Hollywood.
Well, I heard some of it. I heard enough of it to comment. But James Brown was a child abuser, and sexual abuser of a child. That being Tammy Terrell. And probably some more, beating up some more women, too. How in the heck are you going to associate him with women, protection? I mean, you heard the story. He was caught in his mama, in her mama's bed with her when she was 16. I mean, is that a good thing? Physically abusing her, beating her up for not coming to the one of his shows. Then, of course, here comes David Ruffin. He jumps in on it, too. hits upside the head, led to the, all this type of abuse led to this woman's early death at 24. And all she wanted to do was have trust in someone who was already performing in an industry that she wanted to participate in. I don't allow my kids to listen to his music, didn't, and threw all his records away. That's what you call cancel culture. And nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about that, L.A. I was surprised that you let that go by. But I understand.
Well, what's your take, if any, of the origins of the Jewish community in Hollywood?
They do what they're supposed to do. What's the origin of the black community in NFL football and the NBA basketball? They do what they have to do.
Right.
Nigerians, the Africans here have, you talk about identity, they have their own beauty contest. They don't mess around with black Americans. They do it their own. I heard somebody tell me the other day that a Nigerian seen a police had pulled a black man over, and he made the remark, well, there go another one we sold. Probably very accurate in his connotation. Very accurate. And people look at black society in the United States, what I say, black Americans, United States citizens, and try to group them into a separate nation. There ain't no separate nation. They're United States citizens. They're Americans. And everybody, you have, not everybody, but you have these certain voices that want to spend their money and tell them how to spend their money. You know, I think that I'm surprised you haven't had some of these black politicians trying to enact legislation that will require, quote-unquote, blacks to spend money where they think they should be spending, where black businesses are buying certain things that blacks buy from others and wholesale and try to retail to specifically the black. I'm surprised that type of legislation hasn't came down the pipe. I mean, you kind of get what I'm talking about, L.A.?
Yeah.
You got those that's talking about starting black towns and cities in the United States as if no other ethnic group can move into it. Can you imagine that?
Tiaga, you hit on something. Speaking of identity, I'm reading this off Wikipedia. Miss Nigeria is an annual pageant showcasing the positive attributes of Nigerian women, awarding university scholarships. The winner portrays exemplary qualities and serves as a role model for young women in the country. And the pageant, currently organized by the Daily Times, is headquartered in Lagos.
Well, that's a Nigerian. I'm talking about Nigerian Americans. They have their own beauty contest. Cameroons, Ethiopians, Ghanaians, they have their own beauty contest. They ain't included in this group called black that people try to make all cohesive. Those that want to deny the other side of their biological tree. Somebody was talking about that you shouldn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Blacks should celebrate St. Patrick's Day, what it means. And I told her, I said, well, what about all these black Irish? Muhammad Ali. You got Alicia Keys. You got Patrick somebody. I can't think of his name.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal.
You got Leslie McFadden. Wait a minute. You got Leslie McFadden, who is Michael Brown's mother. So they shouldn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day? I mean, what's
well,
your...
There are quite a few names.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. No, and how is people going to say that blacks have all this money to spend in one conversation, the conversation from 8 to 10, then the conversation from 10 to 12, they're talking about how poor they are. And the great percentage of them, 24-28%, that's living below the poverty line. So who in the heck are they talking about going to put the money? It's always been this case about, well, we need to put our money together. Well, you know why come they don't put their money together? Because they don't want to. And then since they don't want to, now you got people going to come up with some scheme to have the federal government make them put their money together. They don't want to. In St. Louis, you got Muhammad Academy. Muslims in Mars 28 don't send their kids to that school. You know where they send their kids? When they, the high school, they were going to Cardinal Ritter, which was a Catholic high school. Then you got some Muslim politicians in St. Louis. They send their children all the way out to Christian Brother College, which is speaking. So when you come to somebody with an idea that you ain't even doing yourself,
well, how many black Americans are they? About 40 million, 38, whatever.
I don't know exactly, but I can tell you, give you a general idea how many of them they've aborted, which would equivalent to about 15 present states. If you came out tomorrow with no blacks in those states whatsoever, that's what the abortion would look like, probably even greater. And that's another thing. Everybody wants these ideas. They want to mess with somebody else's kids. They want to pull their own, somebody else's kids into these special schools that teach history, but the kids aren't learning anything else, like Barbara Sizemore School there in Chicago, African Center School. They had to close the school down, if not on the verge of being closed down, because the kids ain't learning. Ain't learning reading. Ain't learning arithmetic, quote unquote math. Ain't learning the sciences. When they test it, they can't show proficiency in those areas that they're being tested in. But, oh, wait a minute. Now they're talking about doing away with standardized testing. Why? They say it's racist. What? Yeah. Didn't you know the SAT test is racist? Did you know the math portion of in some place in California, in San Francisco, where they're talking about doing away with multiplication because they say it's racist toward black? Where is it up in Oregon where the governor say that a student don't have to prove that they can read and do math to graduate from high school? Saying that math is racist towards blacks? I don't understand that, do you? So they want to do away with ACT and SAT, say it's biased. So I said, well, I asked the guy, what the hell is racist about 2 plus 2 is 4? Well, if the person that's drawing up the questions is white, they can impose their life experiences into the question, which is biased and therefore racist towards blacks.
Well, that's like one of those good times. When, remember, it was an episode of Good Times where Michael came home and said that the questions on the test were culturally biased, and they gave an example of, like, what if the question was, what is a deuce and a quarter? Well, in the black community, we know that a deuce and a quarter is an electric piece of property. But in the white community, it might not.
What did you see that
at? I was on Good Time. Michael came on. The episode was about what you're talking about, culturally biased testing.
Good Times, Good Times was a TV program. I didn't watch that mess.
Michael, J.J., Florida Evans, you know, the Evans family.
I don't know who you, I'm sorry, I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, J.J.?
Yeah, what's his name? Who's put?
You breaking up, L.A. What'd you do, fall off the couch?
No, I'm here. Can't you hear me?
Yeah, but you bawling and breaking up.
Oh, you know what? All right. What about now?
That's
I was
better.
Moving my phone. Okay, I was moving my phone around. Yeah, one of the episodes, I'm sure someone on here might have seen it, but it's somewhere on YouTube.
But who? I never studied about no damn deuce in a quarter. What's a deuce in a quarter?
that was the example that the TV character Michael Evans said, if you put on a test and put it before the average white kid at the time, and ask the question, what is a deuce and a quarter? More than likely, the white student might not know what a deuce and a quarter is. However, if you ask on a critical mass basis what that is to a black kid at the time, what is a deuce and a quarter, then, like, my stepdad has a deuce and a quarter, which is a Buick Electra 225.
Well, hell, I didn't know. So that's how Buick. Is that how Buick advertised the vehicle as a deuce and a quarter?
That way. That was a slang. It was a cultural reference that was used in the black community at that time.
All right, let me address this. First, yes, I am black. I ain't never used that word or that slang to identify a car. Secondly, Buick Motor Corporation did not advertise that vehicle as a quote-unquote deuce and a quarter.
You're correct.
All black people within black society knew nothing about that. I mean, they say all, but the majority didn't know nothing about that. That's within some small spectrum of that society. How would that be reveling on a math test?
You're right. Hey, look, I didn't write that episode of Good Times. I just watched.
So 450 minus deuce and a quarter equals deuce and a quarter. Could you imagine saying something like that? Lord
right.
have mercy.
The same about math, the STEM. And let's start this with math. Math is a language, it's fundamental, it's universal. 1 + 1 is the same on Earth as I assume it is and on Pluto.
Yeah.
So I'm all for the STEM programs because they're fundamental. Fundamental.
Well, it ain't no 13 months in a year neither. The moon wax and wane 13 times a year. That's why a woman have 13 periods in. Within a year's time. But you ask the average one, they don't know that. Long before there was a Gregorian calendar, you had several calendars. Those that people call the ancient Egyptians or the Kushites had a 25,000-year calendar. You can see it today in Dendera. Also, you can go to the island Philae, and you can see the other calendars that's there. It had 10 weekdays that had 36 weeks in a year and 5 extra days at the end for partying. I mean, that's there. That existed before any of these other things that we call, like the Gregorian calendar. But civilizations, communities, ethnic groups got a right to have whatever the heck they want to have as a reference point, because it's referenced in their life's experiences. That's why the stuff in the Bible don't make no sense. God built, created the earth in 7 days. Well, during that time, before that, they had 10-day weeks. But I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get off subject of your topic for your show.
As far as the wills, the cap. Or is there supposed to have some kind of board meeting today, emergency board meeting?
He should be stripped of his awards. The prosecutor there in Los Angeles should file a lawsuit against him because he committed a crime against the state of California. Don't need no testimony. You got everything there on tape. You remember the case with the officer named Slaughter that shot the man, the black man that was being pulled over, and he realized he's about ready to go to jail, so he took off running?
I'm not familiar with that.
I think that was in Ohio. Then he was laying there on the ground, and he took out an extra weapon, and he dropped it down alongside of the man that was laying on the ground.
Oh, you talking about that case? What, North Carolina?
It was in North Carolina? Well, anyway, wherever it
was.
Yeah. The members of the church forgave the police officer. And I think the family did too. Right?
Yeah, he's in prison now, that guy.
Well, yeah, because it don't make no difference if your victim wants to forgive the perpetrator or not. You committed a crime against the state. But
All right, that case in Texas where the guy was eating ice cream and she was in the wrong apartment. And I know the brother, Bossom Gene or whatever his name was, he asked the judge permission to hug the lady in court, so he forgave her. I don't know if the mother did, but the brother did.
Well, the judge hugged her too, but the perpetrator committed a crime against the state. So the family has nothing to do with that. State crime.
As far as
you kill somebody.
Okay. Now, with the Chris Rock situation, for now at least, and I don't know Chris Rock, but they say he's not going to press charges. So although I doubt if they're going to press charges against Will Smith. That's just my
opinion. I don't press charges that people come up with for these reparation ideas neither. And a lot of blacks don't either. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother.
Am I right? Don't you have a lot of blacks who say I don't want no reparations? They ain't pressing no charges for no reparations.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are we talking about? You say Chris Rock says he's not pressing charges. All right. But when you say that blacks say they don't want reparations, oh no, you do want it. Comes from the other side.
Well, you got some that want it, some that don't.
Well, I guess you got some that won't asking why come the prosecutor is not filing charges against Will Smith. He committed a assault and battery and defamation, verbal defamation. That's state crimes, right?
Yes, criminal as well as civil sanctions. That's if Chris tries to do that. I'm looking
James Brown sexually abusing Tammy Terrell was a federal crime.
Not every crime process.
LA, you can't, I can't hear you. So look, I'm going to get off from here because apparently you have a problem with your phone.
Anyway,
hey,
thanks.
LA,
huh? BD, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
You know, it's a shame that, you know, somebody has such self-hatred that they got to spread it over to the rest of our race. I wonder how does he feel about Larry Elder abusing his wife and pulling a gun out and threatening to kill her. That's one of his favorite boys.
What did that happen?
You know,
I didn't hear about
when he was running for governor. the white girl that he was married to or shacking with filed charges against him because he threatened to kill her. I can send you the link if you want to see it. But that's one of his, huh?
Yeah, please send me that one. I think about that one.
Yeah, and look, if you want to go down that line, yeah, James Brown was a bastard. I give him that, you know, for beating up Tammy Terrell and everything. But what about
and,
David
Ruffin did it too.
Yeah, he did. And but what about all of these founding fathers that wrote the Constitution? Is he going to tear that up and not follow that? Because they were rapists, child abusers, and every damn thing else. But he praises them. Your boy over there, Pianki. They are some of his heroes. What about Jesse Lee Peterson that molests little boys, little white boys? And the thing is, he don't say nothing about that. That's one of his favorite people. So, you know, you pick and choose who you want to follow. And the trick is this, Brother L.A. Yeah. We got a problem, like the lady said, because we got an identity problem. And you just witnessed that a few minutes ago. Every time something bad happens in the black neighborhood, my boy brings that up. But he never bring up all of that stuff that them Chucks do. And the thing is this. We're quick to condemn our own, and which we should. But you know what? You got to be an equal opportunity condemner. You got other races and ethnic groups out here that do just as bad or worse than black folk. But the thing is, we're no better or no worse than any damn body else. Now, we do have a problem because, like he stated earlier, and he's a prime example of it, we can't get together because of all of that foolishness that we just heard a few minutes ago. And I hope he hears that because it's people like him that stands in the way of progress. And the thing is, like Flip Wilson say, before we get out there and deal with these other folks, we got to deal with our folks first. Because my thing is this year, if you don't want reparations, shut the hell up. Let us do what we do. We're not bothering the people that's against it. Just like the Jews. Some Jews didn't want Holocaust victims to get any money, but they kept their damn mouth shut. Because they say, hey, if I can't help you, I don't do no harm. But we're the first ones to get out there, well, you don't deserve reparations. Well, goddammit, let the white boy say that. Don't carry white boys' water. But we're good for that. We're the chief criticizers of our race as anybody else. The white boy ain't got to do a damn thing. All he got to do is just put a battery in our back and let us rip it up. But the trick is this. You know what? That doesn't stop people from trying. And I told you why I always bring the argument of reparations, because I want our kids to know what our people went through. I want our kids to know, hey, look, you have a history that goes back further than slavery. But the thing is, slavery was something that happened to us, and slavery is some of the reason why we're in the shape we're in. But see,
right.
Us black folks, we want to sweep that under the rug like it never happened. In fact, I was against taking them statues down because those were memorials that you could point your kids to and say, look, that was a guy that didn't want you to be free. And you got to watch out for people that's willing to take your freedom away again and defend the right to be free. I want them to fly the flag. I want the Confederate flag to fly because I'm flying my flag, the red, black, and green. And the thing is this, like I told you about racism, racism is good. Racism is only a problem when you try to prevent me from doing what I need to do, and you're trying to prevent me from going ahead on and progressing. That's when it becomes a problem, and that's when we need to deal with it. But I'm a racist my damn self because I believe in having my own. All of this conversation that we had this morning is because we don't have our own and we don't control our own. And once we get that in our mind that we supposed to control stuff and we supposed to finance stuff.
That's why I started off with the origins of Hollywood five Eastern European Jewish guys started a community with a definite identity to empower their own.
And look, Brother L.A., those five guys was financed by the broader Jewish community. They didn't do their own money. They had a little money, but they had the idea. But the rest of the population got behind them to make sure that they could finance this thing. And let me give you this, Brother L.A., while we're talking about it. Have you ever heard the Protocols of the Elders of Zion?
No, I have not.
You need to get that book. There were five areas that they wanted to control: finance, the media, politics, and something else. I think there was five of them. And look, they succeeded in doing that because, look, they owned all of the media through news and everything else. They owned entertainment through Hollywood and all the other avenues, the record companies and everything else. And they control sports. But the thing is, when you get that book called it Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and you read what they wanted to do in order to become a powerful people, they have followed it to the letter. And the thing is, following it to the letter, as Jews, under the identity of Jews, they control everything. And the thing is, we need to read that book. But I just wanted to throw that to my buddy before you got off the air.
All right. Well, I wrote it down. I'm going to look it up right after I get off the air. Thank you, Bees, and we're going to let you have the last word for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day.